Please be seated. There is an old observation about people, a truism, if you will. They reveal what they truly believe not so much by what they say, but by where they're willing to stand. Leaders who keep their distance speak one message. Those who step into the same space as the weak speak another. Distance can communicate authority, but proximity reveals solidarity. Whether someone is willing to share the cost of the situation that they address. Our gospel appointed for today opens with a quiet but astonishing detail. Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. He does not arrive with any ceremony. Trust me, I checked the movies. No ceremony involved. He does not separate himself from the crowd. Jesus does not come as a supervisor, as an inspector, or as a critic. Instead, he stands in line and enters the same water as everyone else. That single act, so easy to overlook, tells us a great deal about the God revealed in Jesus Christ. The scene does not take place in Jerusalem or in the temple or in the courts of religious or political power. It takes place on the fringe, on the edge, in the wilderness, at a river associated with repentance, transition, and risk. And the location matters. The Jordan is where Israel once crossed into the Promised Land, a boundary place, a threshold, and it is here where Jesus chooses to stand. The scene itself is a bit odd, even uncomfortable. John the Baptist senses it immediately and protests, "I need to be baptized by you, and yet you come to me." John knows exactly what kind of baptism he offers, a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. He also knows who Jesus is and has already proclaimed that the one coming after him is mightier than the one, the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So the question presses itself upon us as it pressed upon John. Why did Jesus come to be baptized at all? Why does the sinless one submit to a baptism meant for sinners? Why does the Word made flesh step into waters meant for repentance? Why does he not simply baptize himself or bypass the scene altogether? The awkwardness of the moment is not a theological problem to be solved away. It is a mystery to be entered into because it leads us directly to the heart of the gospel. Jesus' response to John is brief and decisive. "Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." And these words deserve our careful attention. In Scripture, righteousness does not primarily mean personal morality or virtue. It means faithfulness, faithfulness to God's saving purpose. To fulfill all righteousness is to bring God's plan of salvation to its proper fulfillment. What God requires in this moment is not separation from sinners, but solidarity with them. Jesus is baptized not because he needs repentance, but because we do. He enters the water not to confess his sins, but to take his place among sinners so that one day we might stand where he stands. He does not redeem humanity from a safe distance. He redeems humanity from within. This is the mystery of the incarnation made visible. The Word does not merely take flesh in an abstraction, but lives fully as one of us. And his baptism becomes the first public sign that his life will be lived for us and for our salvation. Therefore, the baptism of Jesus is not something to be explained away, but a revelation to be joyfully received. By submitting to John's baptism, Jesus identifies himself fully with our humanity. He assumes our condition, not because he shares our sin, but because he intends to heal us from the inside out. He steps into the water, carrying the weight of the world that he has come to save. At the same time, something else is happening. John's ministry reaches its completion. John is the forerunner, the voice crying in the wilderness, sent to prepare the way of the Lord, a task that was always provisional. Now the one for whom he prepared the way stands before him, and John resists at first, but then consents. With that consent, the mission visibly passes from preparation to fulfillment. John decreases, Christ increases. The lesser baptism gives way to the greater. When Jesus comes up from the water, Matthew tells us the heavens were opened. This is not a mere poetic flourish. It is a declaration about God's nearness. What sin had closed, God is now opening. Heaven and earth are no longer sealed off from one another. God is not distant, silent, or inaccessible. God is present, speaking, acting, and saving. The Spirit descends like a dove, gentle and unforced, resting upon Jesus. Then the Father speaks, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." These words echo from the prophet Isaiah, "Behold my servant whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him." Scripture is being fulfilled before our eyes. Son and servant meet in one person. Majesty and humility are joined together. Now, it is important to understand that the Father's voice is not spoken to inform Jesus of who he is. Jesus does not discover his identity at the Jordan. The voice spoken aloud and written down for our sake, it teaches us who Jesus is and what kind of Messiah he will be. Before Jesus preaches, before he heals, before he suffers, the Father delights in him. Divine approval precedes divine action, and obedience flows from belovedness, not the other way around. This moment reaches back beyond Israel's history to the very beginning of creation. At the Jordan, the Spirit descends over the waters once again, echoing creation itself, revealing that the baptism of Jesus is not only about redemption from sin, but about new creation. God is beginning again, not by erasing what is broken, but by entering into it. And this matters because it tells us what kind of salvation God brings. In Scripture, water often signifies chaos or danger or death. When Jesus steps into the Jordan, he steps into the chaos of the world itself. He descends not merely to bring order, but to bring salvation. Already, the shape of the gospel is visible. Jesus goes down into the water and he comes up again. His baptism foreshadows his death and resurrection, and it is the first public sign of the coming Paschal mystery. St. Peter later explains this moment with great clarity. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. The baptism marks the visible inauguration of Christ's public ministry. From the Jordan, he will go into the wilderness, into villages and homes, into conflict and suffering, and finally into death itself. Yet the character of his mission is already clear. So at this point, the question rightly shifts from Jesus to us. What does his baptism mean for us? What does it mean in particular for Mary Evelyn, who is being baptized today? The church never allows us to hear the gospel as distant history. What happened at the Jordan is intended to shape our lives right now. Jesus' baptism is not only revelation, it is participation. What he does by nature, we receive by grace. His baptism is the foundation of ours. In baptism, Christ's baptism becomes ours. As he identified himself with us in the waters, we are now identified with him. The same Spirit who descended upon Christ is given to us. The same heaven still stands open wide over the baptized. Baptism is not our work for God. It is God's work for us and in us. For this child, baptism means incorporation into the fullness of Christ, into his death and resurrection, into the household of God, that's you, into the new creation God is bringing about in the world. It means being claimed before being able to claim, being loved before being able to love, being named before being able to speak. The identity bestowed in baptism, it is not earned. It is received with joy. And for us, baptism means vocation. To be baptized is not merely to be forgiven, but to be sent. The Spirit who anointed Jesus now sends the baptized church into the world as witnesses of that same mercy. The baptismal promises that we give voice to, rooted in the apostles' teaching, the breaking of bread and the prayers, these promises are the shape of a baptized life. Standing with an infant at the font also reminds us that baptism is never a private affair. The church baptizes into a community, into family. We promise on behalf of this child to live as people who believe what we confess, that the heavens are open, that God is present, that salvation is sure, and that grace is very, very real. The baptism of our Lord shows us how God saves and how God delights. Our place before God is not earned, it is received. We do not obey in order to be loved. We obey because we are loved. And we never enter into the waters of life or the waters of baptism alone, because Christ has already gone before us. The heavens were opened at the Jordan and have never been closed again. And as we stand at the water today, we remember where God chooses to stand. Not above humanity, but in its midst. Not on the shore, but in the water. Not apart from sinners, but with them, standing with us, for us, and with this child, now and always. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.